Welcome to Conversations with Community Managers, a podcast series with actual community managers from a variety of industries. On this podcast, we peel back the hype and get into how-to discussions that uncover community and social media management best practices. Conversations with Community Managers is a co-production of the Community Roundtable and Voce Communications. This is Doug Haslam from Voce Communications.
And Jim Storer from the Community Roundtable.
And with us is Jody Gersh of Gannett. She's the content manager for social media there. Hi, Jody.
Hello, Jody.
Hello.
First question, just tell us a little bit about your role at Gannett.
A lot of people don't actually know what Gannett is, and Gannett is a media company who owns USA Today, USA Weekend, and 80-plus newspapers, 20-plus TV stations, some other web companies, internet properties. And basically what I do is try to help all the newspapers and TV stations navigate their social media, whether it be strategies or tools or, you know, just simple question like how to create a fan page. It runs the gamut. But I'm here as a resource for some of those properties that don't have the resources themselves.
Well, newspaper publishing's dead anyway, right?
No, not at all. We're definitely focusing more on internet and web, but obviously the journalistic part, investigative journalism, I don't think that'll ever go away. It's necessary. So,
when we talk to you about community in what you do, you were talking more about the internal stakeholders within Gannett as opposed to, say, communities of readers and things like that. So you're more involved with the internal?
Correct. At our local properties, there are a lot of people that are involved in community management with their local communities. But me here at corporate, what I'm trying to do is build a community throughout Gannett of, let's say, the social media evangelists that we have out there. There's a lot of people out there doing really great work at our newspapers and TV stations. So I try to build a community with us, and we actually meet once a week on a conference call where we just talk about what everyone's doing, anything new that we've read, any industry happenings, things that we might want to experiment with. And it's been really nice to sort of reach across, I don't want to say across the aisle because that's so DC politics,
right,
but reach across the divisions and have people, you know, on this call that are helping each other say, oh, we tried that here, and this is how you do that. And it's been really nice getting all those people together on a weekly call.
Can you maybe share a couple of success stories that you've seen come out of some of the properties that you work with?
Sure. Some of it sometimes is coding. We don't have a lot of developers at some of our smaller properties. So if someone at a larger property has figured out how to write a script that pulls in tweets to, you know, a page on the website or something, you know, fairly simple, and one of the smaller properties may say, oh, we'd love to have that. And so I get that script from that person and put it up on our internal SharePoint site. So it's a lot of code snippets. It's a lot of best practices. Sometimes it's just a campaign that someone tried, you know, maybe it was a quiz on Facebook, or just sometimes it's things that didn't work necessarily, but that helps too.
Right.
As you know, talking about the failures helps some of the properties to not, you know, make the same mistakes. But, you know, we had a success story a year ago in the Des Moines Register. The Supreme Court was about to rule on gay marriage, and early in the day, the Des Moines Register sent out a tweet saying, hey, you know, we're going to be covering this, use the hashtag IA gay marriage for Iowa gay marriage, and your tweets will show up on the site. And it ended up getting used by not only their readers, but it sort of spread into local TV and press, and I think Neiman wrote an article about it. They basically didn't wait for the story to happen. They created the story, which is a really good example that I've used to show other people how they can do that.
And by Neiman, you meant the Neiman Foundation?
Journalism Lab?
Yeah, the Journalism Lab. Yep.
It seems like you spend a lot of time just focusing on the internal folks. Talk about evangelism and how much you do within Gannett and the various properties. Are you helping people get up to speed on what social media is all about?
Yeah, so I also, in addition to that SharePoint site that I mentioned, I have a monthly newsletter that I send out, and that's not just to the evangelists, that's to pretty much everyone that I can find in the Gannett address book.
Right.
A lot of what I do is just keeping up on what's new out in social media and trying to figure out ways that we as a media company can utilize the tools and applications. And that way, when I hear about something, sometimes I might think, you know, XYZ or Nashville would be a great property to try this at, or, hey, Lafayette might want to do this. And so it's keeping up to date, which means, you know, a couple hours every day reading all of the various blogs and reports and things that come out and figuring out ways that our different properties can use that. But it hasn't been all that hard getting buy-in. I think we're very fortunate that the higher-ups understand. They may not use it, but they understand its importance, social media, and so we are able to try a lot of experiments in different locations.
Now, you talked about, actually, you mentioned a couple of tools that probably some people probably think are old school in terms of social media, so it's interesting that you're using them. You mentioned SharePoint. You also mentioned newsletter, although I'm assuming it's a newsletter delivered by email. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So another dead medium, right? Well, one thing that illustrates to me is it sounds like, you're defining social not necessarily as, the hot new tool, the shiny object, but as, whatever works and what people are using.
Yeah, and here, definitely, Gannett is a really large and traditional company. Although there are many of us here that innovate and use a lot of the newer tools, we really need to get that information out in a way that it's going to reach the most people. So the social media SharePoint site was really a place that I knew I can put all this information that everybody across the company would be able to get to it and see it, even if they're not an iPhone user or if they're not, on Twitter or whatever the case may be. So, yes, I have definitely gone with some traditional means of spreading the word. But in the newsletter, there's a whole section in the newsletter that's called Around Gannett where I just list, three or four examples of something that somebody has done in Gannett in the last month, whether it be an app that someone created or a really neat mashup with WordPress and their website or whatever the case may be, and I'll put some examples there. So they start with the newsletter, but then they can click through and actually see more about what the different properties have done.
So what other platforms and tools do you see being used regularly, whether they be new or old?
We're definitely, it sounds kind of already lame to say location because, all last year everyone said that the trend for 2010 would be location and look, it is. but we're jumping on it. I just had a call this morning with Indianapolis talking about location and, whether we decide to partner with an existing application or create our own, whatever the case may be, we really do see importance in location, especially as a media property and local news. Imagine an app, this may or may not exist, where you walk down the street and, push notifications, beep, and say, hey, you're here, and, if you're interested in real estate here, click here. If you're interested in the traffic report here, click here. If you're interested in, what crime might have happened in this street, click here. If you want to know what's on sale, click here, right? All, there in your phone, real-time information. And we're an information company, so we see location and mobile being huge in the coming years.
So last year I was on a little road trip before South By, and I was able to stop in at one of your properties, and it was the Cincinnati Inquirer. And I had this perspective before I got to Cincinnati of what a newsroom would look like. And when I went there, I was really amazed by what I saw. It was quite a bit different than they show in the movies or I'd seen in the movies. How do you envision, as the newspaper industry kind of evolves, how does that change over time?
Well, before I answer that, I'd like to hear what you expected to see and what amazed you about Cincinnati.
I don't know. I guess, I think back to some of the movies you've seen, and it's, folks like hunched over typewriters, smoking right. cigarettes, right?
Bottle in the file cabinet.
Right, bottle in the file cabinet kind of thing.
Yes, nobody was drinking or smoking in the newsroom. That's a big difference.
And I was just doing the quick look up on TweetDeck trying to figure out his last name. But Tom, who is it there?
Tom Callinan.
Tom Callinan. So Tom, I've got to imagine, is in his 50s, and he's totally jumped on board with social media. And he'd really set the right culture and tone there. And so, one thing was, it wasn't like you had the journalist that had all the control. He had really, he'd broken down that wall already there. So it really seemed like it was a culture of sharing and community and that sort of thing, which I thought was really neat. But then right. the other thing was you saw three or four monitors on some desks. Some were turned sideways so that people could get 13 or 15 TweetDeck columns up at one time to kind of monitor what was going on. And it also seemed like they were doing some pretty cool stuff with engaging folks outside the community to help them create news. So it just seemed like they were becoming much more community-driven. And so I just wanted some comments on that.
So that's definitely true. And we love Cincinnati Inquirer, and we especially love Tom Callinan. He's I speak with him regularly, and you should, if you're there again, you should try to grab a beer with him. I'm sure he can show you around the city. Years ago, there was a push to try and change the newsroom and start to create what they called information centers. So instead of being a newsroom, it was an information center. And that really was the beginning of the transformation in that. some properties are further along than that, and I think Cincinnati is one of the larger properties, and they have a lot more people that they can dedicate to innovating. But some of the small properties do a really great job, too. They're actually able to, you know, really reach out to their community and engage on Twitter and on Facebook. I think the newsroom or the information center of the future, I'm not quite sure what it'll look like, but I feel like journalists or editors are just going to continue down that path of being multimedia. I know people talked about that for years, but now with our phones and our handheld devices that can do video, you know, live streaming right from the site, and I think your run-of-the-mill writer is going to be much more of a multimedia person, and the newsroom is going to have to reflect that. Mm-hmm. Whether it means that, you know, more people know how to do more things is probably the case, but we definitely see the importance of that, and that's why, I mean, I do a monthly class here also for anyone who wants to attend on new tools. It sounds kind of lame to say that I did Twitter 101 just last month, but I did, because those that know it are already doing it, but there's so many that don't and need to. So
I don't know if that sounds lame. I mean, I can think of past lives where you can't force people to learn something like Twitter and use it. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things where you might need to have one that's Twitter 101 on a monthly basis anyway,
right?
Because when people
right.
are ready to jump on, they'll jump on. But
right. And we recorded it, so it'll be out there for anyone who wants to jump on later. But then I did Facebook, and I think next month I'm doing something about the real-time web and what tools you can use to monitor trends and Twitter search. Not everybody knows how to use that. It's kind of making a focus on that. And it's not just the newsroom anymore. You know, it's advertising and marketing and the newsroom. So it's really, I think you know this more than anyone, the social media encompasses all of the different departments. It's not really just one person's role. The more people we can train on the tools, the more chances that, you know, it'll connect and someone will get
right.
it.
You can use
I think we do
things.
A pretty good job here.
Okay.
Yeah. USA Today alone has, you know, over 100 Twitter accounts. They teach all of their journalists and writers how to use Twitter and how to engage and how to optimize for retweeting.
Yeah.
So they definitely get it, and a lot of our properties are doing a really good job.
So I have a quick follow-on to the newsroom question. People talk about curation versus creation, and it mm-hmm. sounds like that's the way you're kind of going with the newsroom or the future of media, is that you're going to curate stuff that other people might be creating, but you're just going to make it more visible?
Definitely. We have a lot of talks here about how best to use and display user-generated content.
Mm-hmm.
Not to bring up the whole commenters and trolls, because that's, you know, probably a whole separate conversation, but our news sites, our TV and newspaper websites, struggle with the commenting issue because we want the conversation, we want users to participate, but obviously there's a lot of ugliness on there, and we're constantly thinking mm-hmm. of ways to improve that. In addition, more reaching out to communities with blogs. You mentioned Cincinnati, but they have their Locals on Living or their LOL network with local bloggers who blog on Cincinnati's website. And they, you know, went out and reached into the community and found local bloggers that they wanted to work with. And I see more of that happening. But again, I have to go back to stress the importance of the journalism and the investigative journalism for sure, and how we're still, you know, completely committed to that.
Mm-hmm.
Back to multimedia for a second. You know, Gannett's known for owning newspapers as well as TV stations and other media properties. When you talk about, you know, reporters and other editorial folks need to know how to do different things. And basically, you're finding that people are cross-pollinating across the different media. So maybe newspaper people need to learn a little bit about video. TV people maybe need to learn a little bit more
yeah.
about the written word.
What I think is that, you know, when I said about more multimedia journalism, that's certainly the future newsroom that I mm-hmm. picture. May or may not be true, but there's already cross-pollination in that. You know, you go to any newspaper website and there is video there. You go to any TV station website and there's written stories there. So there is definitely a lot of overlap there, and journalists are already figuring about how to use video. We do a lot of video classes here as well. Right now, we've actually got a really cool project that we launched last month. It's a civil rights movement website. It's civilrights.historybeat.com, and it basically looks at the whole civil rights movement through the eyes of some of our newspapers. We've archived and digitized some of the newspapers from the 60s and the 50s and put up pages there, along with unsolved cases from the FBI. And it's a really neat site. And the reason I bring this up is because we have partnered with YouTube for, we're asking people to actually upload their own videos of interviewing heroes in their community, because the civil rights movement really spans over four generations, and four generations alive today have stories about that. So this is the first time we're actually partnering with YouTube, and people can go, and the portion of the site's called Interview a Hero, and you can upload videos to our YouTube channel where you interview, you know, a relative or someone in your community that maybe was an unsung hero, you know, that did something during the civil rights, or even just, you know, attended a march or has some story to tell. So it's really a neat social media aspect, because you can also add your stories, add your photos. It's completely, not completely user-generated, but a lot of user-generated content there.
Oh, that's great. Jody Gersh of Gannett, content manager for social media there. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jody.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Conversations with Community Managers, a co-production of Voce Communications and the Community Roundtable. To comment on what you've heard, email Doug at voceconnect.com or Jim at community-roundtable.com. You can comment on our blog posts at vocenation.com or community-roundtable.com/blog. Subscribe to this series on iTunes or on our blog.